You're listening to Podiatry Marketing, conversations on building a successful podiatry practice with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDonald.
Welcome back to Podiatry Marketing. I'm your host, Jim McDonald, joined as always by my trusty co-host, Tyson Franklin. Tyson, what's going on today?
Oh, I'm fantastic today, Big Jim. And I love the way when you do your opening, you are so calm. It's just such a calm introduction. And no, everything's good here in Cairns at the moment. We're sort of not far off heading into winter, which means it'll just be warm instead of extremely hot. Yeah, so it's a great time of the year to be up to live in the tropics. Best time of the year.
Yeah, we're heading away from winter into construction season. So those are the two the seasons here in Montreal. So excited to see all those orange pylons out in the road as they try to fix everything over the next 6 months.
I suppose they call it construction season.
Well, it's like the joke is, right? There's two seasons in Montreal and in Canada, winter and construction. So that's just...
That's fine. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, so shall we get on to today's topic? We'll dive straight in. We'll reduce the amount of banter today.
What are we going to jump into today?
Okay, today I want to talk about five marketing rules. These are rules that everybody should live by when it comes to marketing. And the first rule... All marketing should be designed to attract or repel people. It's got everyone thinking
about that one.
Yeah, but it should always be done in a positive way, never in a negative way. And give me an example. It could be you've done an ad, it could be online, could be in a local paper, could be a magazine, might put something on Facebook. Even just the headline and different words can either attract or repel people. So a perfect example would be if you use the word premium, there's going to be certain people that will see that word premium and go, yes, that's me because I like a premium service. And there'll be other people that will see, so they're the ones you're attracting. There'll be other people, when they see the word premium, they're like, oh no, that's not for me because I'm a discounted-minded person. So they see the word discount and they'll go, yeah, that's definitely what I want. Whereas other people will see the word discount and go, oh, I don't really want a discount podiatry service. I want a premium podiatry service. So that's what I'm talking about. When you use your marketing to attract or repel certain patients.
Yeah, certain word selection, it can be huge, right? And definitely, whether it's an action word or in some ways signifying status or a better service, you know, a word here and a word there can really make a big difference between who you're attracting and who you're repelling. So I definitely am on board with that.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. It should always be done in a positive way. It's not, you're never being mean, you're never being nasty. If you're doing that, then that's not being attracting or repelling. It's just being silly. You don't want to be doing that. But I think car manufacturers do it really well. So you might think of say BMW, for example, or Mercedes-Benz or Porsche. And when you see their ads, it's everything visually about their ad, the words they use, the speed that they talk. Everything is based around, because they're trying to attract a certain person. It'll be the countryside they're driving through. It'll be the nice house that it pulls up at the front of. So other people will see that without even knowing what the price of the car is. They'll go, that car is not for me. Whereas other people will go, that car is for me. You compare BMW or Mercedes to a Kia. And the Kia will just show the average family at the front of an average house, having a bit of fun, piling a surfboard and the boogie boards and the blah, all the toys and everything in the back of the car and a bit of sand on their feet. And the dog in the back shaking his fur and throwing stuff everywhere. And there'll be certain people who see them go, my God, that's not the car for me because that's not how I live my life. But there'll be other people who go, that's exactly my life. I love having the dog in the car with me. Love having the kids there. I don't care if they spill an ice cream. It's just a Kia, even though Kia do make some nice cars. So car companies do it. And I think beer companies do it as well in a different way. Corona, for example. Whenever you see a Corona ad, it's always beach, sunshine, good times, and it's also targeted towards younger people. There'll always be, you don't see middle-aged people, I'm past middle-aged now, you don't see people like me, people in their 50s sitting around drinking Coronas. That's not the ad because that's not who they're trying to attract, even though Coronas are still one of my favorite beers.
Yeah, you're right. Like I when I think of Corona, I think about feet in the sand, you know, like a parasol, some limes, in a bottle. And a blue water, blue sky.
And it puts a smile on your face.
Oh, for sure. It makes me want to be there, right? It makes you want to go to that place right away. So definitely, I'm not young either, but I'd definitely be up for, you know, hanging on the beach and having a couple of beers.
Yeah, compared to, like, in America, Budweiser, I think, is like the average beer. I'm not really sure about in America, but in Australia, we have a beer called VB. It's the tradies beer. When they show their ad, some sweaty, overweight dude with a flannelette shirt with his plumber's crack hanging out, and it's targeted towards the hard-working tradie. That's who it's targeted towards. Even though I know there's some people that are not tradies who are, you know, white collar who like VB, and that's what I mean. So I'm going to get on to, you know, about your ideal person or ideal patient a little bit later on. But this is all about the attracting, repelling. You're really trying to use words, use visual images, and even age groups. Things in your marketing that are either going to attract people or repel people. And even though, when we mentioned the Corona ads, you and I are both attracted to that Corona ad. And I think it's because we can still see ourselves when we're in our 20s and had heaps of hair, being at the beach and enjoying a Corona. So to me, I think of a Corona, it just always brings back happy memories.
Yeah, it's an aspirational thing, right? It's both a nostalgic thing, but also aspirational because, you know, I don't want to be stuck in cold Montreal. I would like to get to somewhere warm every once in a while. And it, you know, it kind of puts you in that situation when you're seeing one of those ads and they're warm on the beach.
Yeah. So that's the first one. The second one is you must be in the game. And when I'm talking about being in the game, you need to be in the marketing game. You can't sit on the sidelines and just expect everything to happen and put in zero effort. And I've seen people do that, where they'll just hand all the marketing over to someone and go, you just do everything for me. You do it all. I don't need to know anything about it. And they wouldn't know whether they're being ripped off or whether they're not. So I think, yeah, like, you do a lot of marketing for people, Jim. So I know that it's part of the marketing you're doing for them. It's also educating them on what it is that you do. And I think it's really important for them to take an interest in what you're doing for them. And when you're giving them reports, is taking some interest in what's happening so they know when things are working, if things aren't working, because then they may have a suggestion on, oh, Jim, what about if we did this? And you can have that conversation. But if you're just being super passive and just sitting back thinking this is all going to happen for you, I just don't think it's the right attitude. You've got to, like your podiatry degree, you spent so many years getting that, you must put some time and effort just to at least understand some of the concepts. And one of the concepts, and this is where you can get totally gypped by unscrupulous salespeople, where they'll come to you and they'll be talking about frequency and reach. And a lot of times I say, oh, if you do this here, it reaches 60,000 people. And you go, oh, that's good. But if you only do this over here, you're only going to reach 5. But what they don't realize is sometimes reaching those 5 more often with frequency, you're going to get better impact than reaching 60,000 once. So what's your thoughts on that?
Point. It's a good point. I think when it comes to the clients I work with, there's really two main aspects of it is, like you said, education, letting people understand, you know, what are those different channels and what are the potential ROI, just so they have a general sense of what's happening. And the second part is communication. You know, that's when I talk about communication, it's more, it's not just daily feedback or quarterly feedback. It's really sitting down with podiatry clinic owners and understanding what their goals and aspirations are, and then having kind of a set plan with them to kind of walk down that path together. Because sometimes you're going to do some experimentation, sometimes you have some tried and true methods that are going to work, but it's building that bond through education and communication, which is really, really important. And like you said, it's not always about, you know, getting the biggest reach, right? Like if you, you know, if you want to be known by people, sometimes you have to be seen more frequently, and you want to go after that target demographic. You know, you don't necessarily want to have to be known by everybody. So, you know, kind of picking and choosing where that visibility is really, really important. But working with a partner and working with someone that will really help you have that consistency to get that visibility of your marketing out there is hugely important.
Yeah, well, it's even when I do business coaching with clients, I can give them the advice on what to do, but it works so much better when they understand why I'm doing it. Don't just hear, this is how you set up a brilliant recall system. It's, why do you want a recall system in the first place? What is it you're trying to recall? And understand the process. And once they do it and they understand it, then they can repeat it time and time again. So I just think that if you're sitting on the sideline just expecting everything to be done for you, and this is where I think sometimes where people, they'll, this is a different subject. I said I was going to try and stay on track. I wasn't going to get sidetracked. I'm sidetracked now. When some people say, I could never let go of my receptionist who's a complete cow, because if she wasn't here, I'd have no idea how the clinic runs. And I'm like, and that is going back into the silly mode. To have one person in your business who knows everything runs and you're scared to let them go, and they could be treating you like dirt, but you won't let them go, to me, is sitting on the sidelines and not being in the game. That's the game of your business as well.
No, 100%. You have to own your business and you have to own the operations that are happening inside your business so you can make good decisions, not only for the betterment of your patients, but also for the betterment of your business.
Mm. Number three is you must be consistent with your marketing message. Whatever the message is you're putting out there, you don't change your marketing, whether it's online or offline, every 3 or 4 days or every week. Just this week we're talking about fungalars, this week we're talking about heel pain. If you keep doing that, it gets really, really confusing. And it takes time, like you said before, it takes time to get a message across. And this relates back to what we were just talking about with frequency, is if you just keep putting the same message out there and you're repeating it over a period of time, eventually people will start hearing that message. If you only send it out there once, and the next week it's a different message, and next week it's a different message, they never really grasp the message. And in Cairns, there's this company here that make mango wine. And there wouldn't be anybody in Cairns, when you mention the name of their company, that wouldn't know who they are. Everybody knows who they are, because they used to advertise on TV only from 10 p.m. till about 2 a.m. in the morning, because that's when the drunks were coming home. You come home, you sit in front of the TV, I'm just going to watch a bit of Rage, which is a music show, which we always used to do when we got home. And nearly every second ad was this golden drop mango wine. Everybody up here in North Queensland would know who they are. And so, when did you see their ad? And they go, I can't remember where I saw it. I knew they only advertised from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. because it was like $15 a spot. It was cheap as. And they just smashed, the frequency was just there. And it was 7 days a week, same spot, just consistently. That's what frequency does.
Yeah, consistency is huge. And when I talk to some of the people I work with, right, even in my own marketing, when I'm trying to get the name of my services out there and what I do, sometimes you will feel like you're repeating yourself, and it may feel uncomfortable. Like, I've been saying the same thing for the last month or 3 months or 6 months. And you feel like you want to say something different. But like you talked about, though, if you want to be associated with something, like associated with a certain type of service, associated with a certain type of expertise with your clinic, you have to be not afraid to continue to harp. You know, there's different ways of saying those things. You don't have to say the exact same thing. You can change up the imagery or the words that you use sometimes, but the message should try to remain as similar or on point as possible, because as humans, we like new things, right? We like, I'm going to go do this completely other direction. And when you do that, you lose all that momentum you've been building by being known for that specific thing. So yeah, you can experiment in different areas, but once you have something that works and you're known and you want to be known for something, don't be afraid, like you said, to be consistent about it and have that, you know, repeat what you're saying and maybe different imagery, different words, but it is important to drive home those things and repeat them, because that's how your clinic and you'll be associated with the type of patients you want to see or different type of procedures that you want to do.
So I remember a sales rep coming to me and just saying, Tyson, when are you going to change this particular marketing we were doing? They said, it's getting really boring. You've been doing the same thing for so long now. And I said, well, I'll stop it when it stops working. And that's when I realized that we get bored with our own marketing much faster than our patients get bored with it. You don't realize that every one of your patients don't see every bit of marketing you put out there. They will see it, they might see it once, but they mightn't see it until it's been out there the 20th time before they actually see it the next time, because it's just depending on where you're actually doing it. But the other part with the consistency is, even when you think of BMW and Corona, they might change their ads, which you mentioned. You can change the type of ad that you're doing, but the message is still the same, and BMW will still use the same imagery. Corona, be 15 different beaches they've used, but the basic message is the same. Fun, sun, surf, younger people, good times, limes in there, and everyone enjoying themselves. So I just think that's the important part for this. Is just you must be consistent with your marketing message and basically keep repeating it.
Absolutely. I definitely think that's, like we mentioned, it's about just driving home that message, and you're going to be much more tired of your own message more quickly than your patients are.
Oh, definitely. So this leads on to number four, which is don't try to please everyone, which a lot of people, when they're doing the marketing, that's what they basically do. You're better off to be a sniper and pick one particular message for a particular group of people, that's what you're targeting, than trying to have the shotgun approach. And they always say, if you try and please everyone, you will actually hit no one, because nobody will really feel a really beige marketing message. If it's dull and sort of go, hey, we treat feet, people are going to go, whoop-dee-doo. But if you say, hey, do you have heel pain? And then someone's going to go, yeah, I have heel pain. And that's basically what you do. That's being a sniper. But just saying, hey, I'm a podiatrist and I'm great, that's being very broad. Or, hey, I treat heel pain and fungal nails and warts and bunions. And people go, okay. Then the message is basically lost. What you want to do is, instead of trying to please everyone, just think about what do you want more of and try and push your marketing towards that particular area.
Yeah, once you know what you want more of or what you want less of, it's much more easy to kind of crystallize what your marketing message will be. You know, what kind of website you'll have, you know, what channels or what types of creative should you show on ads or like on your social channels. It just makes everything much more simple. When you're trying to be everything to everybody, you're kind of being, like you said, you're being no one to nobody, right? You're just you're just like everybody else. There's no way to differentiate you between you and other local competitors. You're just that other foot clinic. But when you're able to spend the time to know what you want, what you don't want, you can really differentiate yourself, set yourself apart, and really be seen as a local expert in that very specific type of care that you want to provide.
Yeah, because some people, they do. They just, and they feel like, oh, but if I don't talk to everybody, I'm going to miss everybody. Now, if you try to talk to everybody, you're going to miss everybody. The hardest part is it goes against the logic of what you actually think, that I must tell everyone everything. It's no different having a patient in the clinic and you feel like you want to give them all the information on that first visit and show them how smart you are and how you can help them in so many ways, and they walk out totally confused. Whereas you're better to give them less, you know, they say less is more, which leads on to number five. And number five is you must know your ideal patient. And we've spoken about the ideal patient so many times before. And I want to point out, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but your ideal patient and your best patient are not necessarily the same people. Your best patient might be the person that comes in and orders couple of pairs of orthotics and they get shoes and they do all this, and they're like an extreme patient. And sometimes patients go, I want to market towards the best patients. And you go, but you may not make a living off the best patients. What you want to do is look at your ideal patient that covers a broader area, a broader group of people, and that's what you should be marketing towards. But you need to learn more about them. It's really important to identify the ideal patient and then dig deep and just learn more, like find out where do they hang out? What are they doing on weekends? What social platforms do they actually use? Because I know some podiatrists that they are heavily into Instagram, but when I talk to them about who their patients are, and I've actually got them to go through and go through the ages, and all of a sudden they're going, oh, I didn't realize my ideal patients were 20 years older than what I thought, because they were focusing on their best patients. But when they actually look at who their ideal patient, one of the ones that were actually spending adequate amount of money on a regular period of time, they were like 20 years older than they thought. And they went, oh my God. I said, so they're now going to ask those people, what platforms do you use? And none of them said Instagram. I said, but you're putting all this time and effort in doing these amazing videos and all this content for Instagram, and they weren't putting it anywhere else. That's why you really need to know who they are.
Yeah, you have to pick those channels, right? Maybe it's the free local paper or the senior magazine or something, right? Where, you know, if that's the demographic you're going after, you got to know where they're at, because like you said, otherwise you're kind of, you know, wasting money in a way, because it totally makes sense just to kind of get into knowing that demographic, knowing what they do, and being present there, whether it's, you know, giving talks to local organizations that include that patient demographic, just being seen and being visible to those folks will give you, you know, a great opportunity to kind of be seen as that local expert for them.
Yeah, and that's what, like you said then, it's not just about the online platforms. What are the offline platforms that your ideal patients are connecting with? There could be we used to have a local magazine here called Cairns Eye, and doesn't exist anymore. COVID killed it. And plus, nobody's really reading newspapers anymore either. But going back even 5-10 years ago, this magazine was just a winner. It had the TV guide in there. It had a number of local stories. So it had the weekly TV guide. So we used to advertise in there because we knew that magazine lift out would hang around for a whole week before it was actually discarded, compared to a newspaper that was just there for the one day. So we had worked out that whenever we did advertising in that magazine, we got about 5 times more patients than when we did the ad in the paper. So we didn't need to advertise in the paper anymore. Everything went into the magazine. Magazine died. You've got to find another channel. But it's, you know, your patients, if they're not looking at the magazine, they've moved on to something else. They're getting their information from somewhere. So you've got to tag into that. And the other thing, I just want to finish on this particular topic about, yeah, must know where you're about, more about your ideal patient, is who else has your ideal patients? Is it a chiropractor? Is it a physio? Is it the local doctor? But is it the local car yard, coffee shops, hairdressing salons? There's other businesses out there that your ideal patients will be hanging out at. And if they hang out there, there's a chance there's a lot more of them there that you can actually tap into.
Yeah, I think that's huge, is utilizing that network of both professional and non-professional referrers, you know, the business, the local businesses, the other healthcare providers that are, you know, I feel like I've talked about multiple times previously, like I loved treating runners and active people, right? So going to the running shoe stores, you know, going to the physios, going to the health clubs, places like that, where you're going to have that target demographic where they're already, you know, there, and sometimes even a captive, right? You know, if they're running on treadmills or something, there's a way to show advertising to those folks, or, you know, just kind of maybe doing some co-marketing with some of these different local businesses can be a huge win for your practice.
Yeah, I remember having a few patients coming in a row who were at the time, mid-40s to mid-50s, all had their own businesses, had all done quite well in business, and I noticed they were all part of Rotary. And I went, so I'm sort of checking this out a little bit more. And then when I dug into it a little bit deeper, I'm thinking, yep, more and more of them are in Rotary. So I'm going to join Rotary. And I was only in my early 30s at the time. So I joined Rotary, which was a bit unusual to have someone my age in Rotary. But the amount of patients, because there were 7 Rotary clubs in Cairns, they would have meetings where they all got together and do functions together. So I got to meet all these people. I then was able to speak at every Rotary club about podiatry every year during Foot Health Week. The amount of patients that I got, not just the members, but then the people that they knew, because Rotarians are usually part of other organisations. So that's the power of understanding your ideal patient and then tapping into that.
Yeah, I think one of the big opportunities I see these days, and I just talked a lot about one of the conferences I went to, is the onslaught of the amount of injuries happening with pickleball players. So, kind of finding these pickleball venues where there'll be, some of them are, you know, public and parks and things, but there are some private, groups and facilities, and, you know, partnering with those folks about, you know, injury prevention, or, you know, having some talks at some of those different facilities could be a huge opportunity, because the number of injuries that people are sustaining during pickleball has just been kind of mind-boggling from some of the colleagues I've talked to.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I think you mentioned pickleball last week when I mentioned netball.
It's all kind of pickleball, all kind of ball talk here on the Podiatry Marketing Podcast.
What a way to finish up on. We're finishing on ball talk. Anyway, so that was the five. Just to rehash them all marketing should be designed to attract or repel your patients. You must be in the game. So you've got to have your head in the game and want to know more about the whole marketing side of things. You need to be more consistent with your message and frequency and just keep repeating it. Don't try and please everyone. It's the same as us with this podcast. We're talking to podiatrists who were interested in marketing. We're not talking to podiatrists who want to know more about Achilles tendonitis. They're not going to listen to this podcast unless they like marketing as well. And number 5 is you must know your ideal patient. So that's what I'm going to finish up on, Jim.
No, I think it was a great topic. You know, there's definitely a lot that people could take from this to kind of implement into their own clinic. So, you know, if they don't know how to do it themselves, you know, you and I are available. You provide a great coaching service, and they can reach out to us, you know, via our website, podiatry.marketing. I provide marketing services. So yeah, they can reach out to us. If they have questions, they can send us an email, and we're happy to get in touch.
That is fantastic. Okay, Jim, I look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds great, Tyson.
Okay, see ya. Bye.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Podiatry Marketing with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDaniel. Subscribe and learn more at Podiatry Marketing. That's the website address, podiatry.marketing.